God bless you this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to come now and take complete control, Father. Let this service be pleasing to you. I pray that you'd anoint each one, Lord, that's here for this service to fulfill the part that you've called us to play, Lord. Have your way among us, Lord. Help me, Lord, just to step out of the way, Lord, that you can speak, that it's not a man speaking at all, but it's the very God of heaven. Meet the needs, Father, according to your word. Meet the needs. Come to where we are, Father, and draw us higher. Draw us to a greater faith, a greater love, Lord, just to be more like you, Lord. We pray for every need here, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual, whatever our needs are, Lord, and for the ones that are on our hearts that we pray for, Lord, we ask that you would go to them, Lord, and according to your word, bring them to you. We ask this, Lord, expecting, Father, you will be here and meet our needs. In this we pray in your name. Amen. God bless you this morning. If you're turning your Bible to Ephesians, the second chapter, we want to read a few verses there. Ephesians 2, and we'll start at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle walls of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make to himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You may be seated. Thursday night I spoke on doors, and this morning I was planning on speaking on walls. We're going to talk about walls this morning, and then when I got here I realized that half my notes hadn't printed off, and so I'm not exactly sure which direction this is going to go, but we're going to kind of start there and see just where God leads us. And I know he knows all about it, so I've got all the notes I'm supposed to have. Maybe we start off reading some quotes Brother Branham said about this sort of stuff. He said, "Now we find that so many of us in these last days in our organization of Pentecost, that we have come in and organized ourselves and rejected the leadership of the Holy Spirit by the wisdom of some groups of people. Instead of having fellowship one with another, it's divided and separated us into several different organizations of people, and in doing so has broke up our inheritance. Now these walls inside, if we ever get walled into a place where we can't accept the word and the Holy Spirit and have to take the creeds and so forth of a church instead of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Jubilee will never mean nothing to that person. No matter how much you can say your mother left you inheritance, your daddy did that, but you sold out and walled up and come into a creed and accepted this dogma that was injected into your fellowship instead of being free in Christ and letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Along back in the age when the early church was getting itself together, immediately they had to go to organizing. And when they did, listen to this, because they was afraid that somebody else, a leader, would get a little group. They had issues that came in, and when they had to organize these issues, if they had just left it alone, let the Holy Spirit weed out and bring in and lead in and put in, the church would have been further advanced than it is now in spiritual power." So he said what happens all down through the church ages is God would do something, he would start moving, and then the people would say, "Now, we don't want a little group to jump off here. We don't want a leader to take a group over here, and so we're going to organize it." And in doing that, they caused the very thing to happen that they try not to have happen. Because some minister would get up with the ministry, and he'd say, "Well, now, I believe it this way." And so he'd go off here, and people would go off in that direction. And some, "Well, I believe it this way." They organize and go off in that direction. He said, "The curse of denomination is it builds walls. It breaks down fellowship." That's never been God's idea, is to break fellowship. When he said, "Come out of her, my people," he meant come out of that denomination. He didn't say build a wall to keep everyone out from where you are, to separate yourself. You separate yourself from sin, you come out of that system. But brother and sister, you don't treat them like they're a bunch of dogs. That's where you run into problems, because when you get off to yourself and you start looking down on everybody else, well, they're just. Anytime you start with an attitude, well, they're just, you are on the wrong road.
Yes, you are.
They're just a Catholic. They're just Amish. They're just Seven Thunders. They're just this or they're just that. Brother, sister, that's never been the attitude of Christ. What do we get the idea we can start treating people as lesser beings because they don't see how much we see, as if that makes us something? Because that, brother and sister, is just a denominational education of the message. That's all it is. It's just an education. Amen. He said, let the Holy Spirit weed out. Oh my. And bring in and bring out and lead in and put in. Let the Holy Spirit do this stuff instead of us deciding who needs to sit in. Why can't I come to this church as long as so-and-so is going to the church? Well, guess who's wrong? You're too holy to be around that person? Guess who's wrong? Well, I just can't be around. They just rub me the wrong way. Then you got too much. You need some more rubbing done then. It's true. God probably put that person there to rub you the wrong way. He says, you need to humble yourself a little bit there, sister. You got too big of an attitude. Yeah, let the Holy Spirit bring in and put out and weed out and all that. You know, Brother Jerry, you need to get rid of this person. You need to do this. You need to do that. Well, let the Holy Spirit do it. You're not the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's what he's done. And that's why people got upset. Because what was it doing? It was breaking down their walls. The church I go to needs to be run like this. The church I go to needs to have this kind of church order. We need to do it this way in the church I go to. You got your walls built up. He said, now see what we've done with it? We've tried to educate the people in Christ. You might just as well forget it. There's no other program will do it but the old-fashioned program, the new birth. We can get people in here and raise them from the cradle on up to they're 60 years old in the message. And brother and sister, if they don't have the new birth, all they ever got was an education. That's all they ever got. They can tell you all about what Brother Branham said, but do they know Christ? There's a whole big difference there. He said, being born again is the only way that'll ever be. We've tried to educate them. We have tried to make societies and so forth to bring people to a brotherhood. And it separates them further away from God. We've made this. We believe it this way. Let's all come together. And we gather ourselves together. And we separate ourselves from God in this brotherhood we're trying to establish. He said, we become prejudiced and build up denomination walls and separate ourselves from the other brethren. It's just because we're educating ourselves. How many times Brother Branham preached against education so we quit going to school? He was talking about in the church, brother and sister. And we turn our church into the best seminaries in the world. He said, but a real good case of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your heart, it'll make you forget your pride. Yes, it will. Come in here sometime with a bad attitude about someone and get the anointing of the Holy Spirit on you. What happens to that bad attitude? Oh, brother, you leave out here just in love with everybody. Till that anointing goes away, then you hate him again. That's why you need it in your heart. Not just in your flesh, not just in your spirit realm. It needs to come from the heart. Because then when it comes on the spirit realm, that heart's going to take over and say, oh, no, you're not, boy. You're not going to have that attitude. And then you come in here with that attitude, and the Holy Spirit exposes it, and then you got to get rid of it. Or walk out of here rejecting the Holy Spirit. Rejecting the chastening of the Lord. It's not a good place to be. It'll make a tuxedo suit put his arm around a pair of overalls and call him brother. It does something on this side of you that goes beyond intellectual conception. It's a birth of the spirit that lives in the human heart. Brother, sister, that's what we all need. If you don't have it yet, it's there for you. You don't have to go through life wondering or I really do need this. I hope I get it. I wonder if it's for me. You don't have to go through life like that, brother, sister. And in fact, you can't if you plan on going in the rapture.
Amen.
You have to know that you know that you know.
Amen.
He says, a woman in the Bible always represents the church. Christ is coming for an espoused virgin. The old prostitute of the Bible is called the church sitting on seven hills, the Roman church. She had daughters which is the Uzzah that followed her, came out of her, was born from her in the same denominational barriers, the same thing, the same kind of system. The old Catholic Church was so good at excommunicating you if you did not come along with them. In fact, during the Inquisition, they'd torture you and kill you if you didn't agree with their doctrines and agree to belong to their church. Talk about barriers. Well, that same spirit, brother and sister, was birthed right into the denominational churches as they came up too. And you had to believe it my way or I'm not going to fellowship with you. And right now, we're not going around killing people as much. Some religions are, but so far Christianity isn't doing that too much yet. But brother and sister, that same spirit is there. And if you don't agree with me, then you're wrong. And I'm not going to fellowship with you. And I don't even have to treat you like a brother. Oh, we get along. Hey, brother, how you doing? It's just as fake as frogs in syrup. Whatever that means. It's ridiculous. It's fake, brother and sister. And yet, we have these walls. Well, you don't believe the way I do, so you're not right. You're not in. I'm in and you're out. Well, how do you know? I'll tell you what. Look 20 years ago and look where you were 20 years ago and look where you are now. And if you look back at where you were 20 years ago, you say, well, boy, I was really in a bad shape. Well, what about someone else who's a few years behind you? How about some grace for them? Well, maybe they're ahead of you. Maybe they've dropped some of those barriers and they see more Christ and they're not all religious like you are. And they're actually ahead of you. Wouldn't that be something? He said, in their churches, there are fine people. It's the system that binds them. It's not the church itself. It's the people in the church. The system that binds them, put them into place, break our fellowship, won't let them go on with God. And it's a pitiful thing. So Brother Branham said, when you put your walls up and your boundaries, you cannot go on with God. Your system keeps you from going on with God. Because when the minister comes to break that and say, hey, we get to go forward, you're going to say, well, I don't believe it that way. Well, I never heard it preached that way. I believe it this way. I think I spoke on this line I'm going before, but I just feel to say it again. I grew up, my dad, you know, was a very authoritative kind of person. He was black and white. This is what's wrong. This is what's right. And you do it this way. And I grew up that way and believe in that. And then as I got older, I realized my dad was wrong in a lot of things. He was wrong. And that was scary because if he was wrong in some things, well, how much else was he wrong in? And I looked around a little bit, and I realized some of the things my teachers taught me in school I didn't believe. And I went to college, and a lot of things the professors taught me I didn't believe. A lot of things. And I go on the news, and a lot of things the news tells me I don't believe. And hardly anything the politicians tell me I believe. And the scariest part is a lot of stuff I go into church and hear preachers preach I don't believe. And so I'm sitting there thinking, what is truth? What is truth? Pilate stood on time, looked at the truth standing in flesh, and he said, well, what is truth? Jesus, I come to testify the truth. He said, well, what is truth? How do you know what's truth? Why do you go to a message church? Well, I always go. My parents brought me here. I go to a message church because my parents bring me to. I've always been a message believer. Really, that's the reason? Now, if you're still young, I'm not talking to you at all, okay, right here. You come to message church, your parents bring you here, you need to be subject to your parents. But I'm talking about you people who are older can make up your own decisions. Why do you go to message church? Why do you go to this church? Because if you're doing it because your parents did, you need something a lot more than that. You need to find out what is truth. You need to find out for yourself. Because you just got an education until you do. I talk like this at one of the classes I teach for our new hires coming in, and I tell them this. I ask them, why do you vote the way you vote? Why do you go to the church you go to? Why do you eat the food you eat? Why do you dress the way you dress? Well, I always have. Really? I got this friend, and she, I've known her for years, I work with her. And she, when I, especially, when we, she would say, well, I don't like, we, you know, we're going to eat something. Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like that. I finally start asking her, well, have you ever tried it? No. And it's amazing. I guess I've known her 7 or 8 years or something. It's amazing how many food she eats now that she didn't used to eat because she didn't like it, because she never tried it. And now she loves it. Why? Because we get so comfortable, brother and sister, in our little comfort zone, and we don't want to branch out. We don't want to push out. We don't want to go further. I'm comfortable here doing this. And when we talk spiritually, brother, the Bible and Revelation, it calls you lukewarm. You're in a comfort zone. You're lukewarm. You're not going forward. You're not going back. You're just sitting there in your warm puddle of mud. And you know what I tell the new hires that come in at work? I tell them, challenge everything. Challenge everything. When your preacher preaches something, challenge it. He said, well, that don't sound... I'm not talking about challenging like a 16-year-old kid with a bad attitude. Well, Dad, I don't want to do that. I think you're a moron or something. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't do it with a bad attitude. You look at it and say, well, what is true? What is truth? Then how do you know? There's this guy... Our author, he's Irish or English, something. His name was John Keats. You might have heard him. He's a poet and an author. He said something, I don't have the exact quote, but he said, nothing is true until you've experienced it to be true. He said, even a proverb is no proverb to you until your life illustrates it. And I thought, if that is exactly right. Here's what I'm talking about. Brother said, you've read this Bible, you've heard this message a million times. But one day, something about that became real to you. What was it? God revealed it. And how do you know it was real? Because it started manifesting through my life. I was no longer quoting it. I was living it. That's why I know it was truth. Over the years, when Brother Jared preached something and I had quite a question, well, I wonder, you know, I'm not sure, I don't know, I haven't heard this, whatever. You know why it kept going? Because I had experienced that his ministry was producing Christ. I had confidence that he was in the right direction because of what I had already experienced. Not because you can explain it to my head. That makes sense? Then I know, brother, sister, when I stand on certain things, when I preach certain things, when I believe certain things, I can stand there and all hell can come against you, but you don't move because you're standing on the revealed word. How do you know? Because you've lived it. If all you believe this is because someone preached it to you, then brother, someone else could come and preach it out of you. I believe it because my pastor preaches this way. That's good. You should believe it that way. But it's got to go a step further and say, now I believe it because I've experienced it to be true. Amen. Now you don't have to worry about someone talking to you about something. Now you don't have to worry about what's right or not. Well, he preaches this way, but this preacher preaches this way. I don't know what to believe. Then find out by revelation what to believe. And if you don't know, sit there and wait. Oh my goodness, that's the hardest thing to do. I remember one time, you remember Dale Potter? I used to work with him out in the woods. And he would stop this chainsaw. He'd sit there and preach to me. We had a great time. But he got talking about the seven thunders one time. I had just come to the mess. Well, just started coming to church for just a year or two. And very new. He started talking about the seven thunders. And I just had to find, well, what are the seven thunders? Well, what's that about? And he tried to, and I was just going crazy in my mind. I said, oh my goodness, I got to know. You got to know what the seven thunders are. How do I go to the rapture if I don't know? And so I asked him, you know, what is? Explain this to me. So he kind of did. I got an education of what he believed it was. I was okay, fine, that's what I believe now. Well, let me tell you something. You might not like to hear this or whatever. I don't know any more about the seven thunders, Howie, than I did then. And that was years and years ago. Why? Because God hasn't revealed more to me. But you know what I have found out? I don't have to worry about it. Because when it's time to see it, he's going to reveal it. And I'm going to experience what that is. You don't have to sit there and get all educated like you're going to take a test one day. And when you pass the test, you go in the rapture. Relax. God's got everything right on time. Everything is falling right in place, right on time, the way it's supposed to be. But God, I got to overcome this. I got to overcome this. Yes, he knows that. He ain't stupid. You say, well, what should I do? Believe. Oh my goodness, that's all he ever asked you to do. Believe. Well, how do I overcome? Believe. That's your inheritance. You have, your inheritance is to live a holy life in that flesh.
Amen.
How's it going to happen? When you believe it. Tear down these walls, brother and sister. He says he won't let God go on. He won't let them go on with God. It's a pitiful thing. That's what God hates. Not the people in there. The system that's binding them is what he hates. It's the organization that tells them if they go to another church, they're going to be excommunicated. People don't know what to do. He said they'll pay for it someday. Then what's our attitude towards those people? Do we belittle them? Do we look at them as lesser beings? Well, they're just an old Baptist. My.
They're human beings.
Because if we belittle them, we're building a wall between them and us. Building a wall. Well, I can't even how I talk to them because they got such a bad attitude towards me. Well, let them build the wall. If they want to build that wall, that's up to them. But you don't build the wall. Because they put up a bad wall, they put up a wall, and you put up one beside it, you got a double wall to get through. And Christ needs a door to go through. Now, you can either be a door or you can be a wall. And if you're a wall, there's no way for them to, for him to get to them through you. Because you put a wall between them because they hurt your feelings. Adam, until now, man has tried to make his own substitute. He's tried his best to do something a little better than what God did then. Ain't that the truth? We try to go a little further. We try to know a little bit more than what God is actually doing. We're trying to improve on what God is doing. Well, God, I need to know the understanding. I need to understand the seven thunders. And he's saying, you will when it's time. But I had to do a little bit better than God. I had to know beforehand so I could impress God how much I know, how much I care, and how sincere I was. He said, that's just natural in man. Man is always trying to better something, to make a different way. He wants to inject his own ideas into the plan of God. Oh my goodness, if that isn't human beings. Brother Jerry, you need to do this. Injecting our own ideas. Well, Brother Paul, I think you need to do this. I think this is what, I just feel that you should do this. Well, God didn't lead me to tell Brother Paul what to do. He leads us individually. And that's why we stand tonight separated. Christian people the world by barriers, by denominational barriers. It does this because that man has injected his own ideas in God's plan. From Adam until now, I've said it's been that way. Helping to God's, we're helping God to save us. Now, I'm going to turn, just to go off on another tangent a little bit here. It's just to see how this works. In the breach, Brother Branham said, now notice the seven seals holds a mystery of the book. Until we can see what those seven seals has sealed in, we're only presuming those things. Because as I've told you this morning on my message, God in Simplicity, you see, we are sure to miss this thing unless it is absolutely, genuinely revealed by the Holy Spirit and vindicated the same. All right? So he's talking, he hadn't preached the seals yet, he's getting ready to. He said, now the only way we're going to understand the seals is when it's revealed by the Holy Spirit and vindicated, proven. Now I want you to pay attention. I'm going to say something that's very simple, but if you don't listen, you're going to take the wrong idea here, so don't get the wrong idea. Brother Branham came and God vindicated him that he was the prophet, the messenger. And so we know that the prophet brings the truth and the word. And so when he preached the seals and God vindicated, it was him preaching. He was supposed to do it and everything worked out just according to what he had prophesied. So we know that what Brother Branham preached was true when he preached the seals. Amen?
Amen.
We believe it. The prophet preached it. We believe it. But now look, when the seals were opened, Brother Branham said the Bible became a whole new book. What was it? The whole new, it opened up a whole new understanding of the Bible. Why? Because Christ was revealed in the opening of the Word.
Amen.
All the loose ends were tied up. Everything was put in place. So we were not chasing after a denominational doctrine, this man's idea. It was all the pure Word of God now. But the word, as it came forth, the seals, it came as a seed. And some of it explained what had happened in the past, but some of it told us what was happening now, and some of it told us what was going to happen in the future.
Amen.
And that's where we get wrong. That's where we made our mistakes, because what had happened, what's supposed to happen in the future has not yet been interpreted or vindicated.
True.
Right? We're still together? And so what people did is, because they cannot wait for God to vindicate it, they took and preached what was going to happen and told us how it was going to happen. And that's where we get off. If the people before Jesus came, if they had to simply preach Messiah is coming, then when he came, they could accept it the way he came. But they preached the Messiah is coming, and then they told us how it was going to happen. And then when he did come, it wasn't according to their walls. It wasn't according to their denominational mindset. And so they had to reject it instead of saying, oh, we were wrong. That's what's happened with this message. Because that part of the word that has to be vindicated, interpreted in the future, so many preachers took and preached it and told us how it was going to happen. And now it's actually happening and they don't see it. Because they can't see past the walls they built. That's the problem. It's got to be vindicated. Brother Brown, appreciate it, but you got to experience the truth as a revelation. And if you've already got in your mind how it's supposed to happen, what it's supposed to be like, what kind of a Christian you're supposed to be, then when God's trying to make it happen, you can't accept it. That's why so many people will not receive the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't turn you into a Superman. Well, if God wants to give it this way, I don't think I want it this way, because I want to come and I want to just walk out of here and just blow devils away. You mean I got to go here and fight for my inheritance? I don't want it that way. Because I can take four quotes, Brother Brandon said, and prove to me that once I have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to just kick devils all over the place and never be tempted anymore. Surprise, surprise. We don't want it that way, because it's a lot harder. We want a nice, easy salvation. Just give me the Holy Ghost and let me walk around here sealed where to go and just happy, happy doo-doo, and we're just having a good old time. That's our denominational idea of what it means to be born again. And when it happens, you remember the quote Brother Branham said, you wake up in a nightmare? Something like that. You wake up, you realize how horrible this world is and how horrible you are and how good Christ is, and now you got to fight and call and scream and take the kingdom by violence. What's that violence? You're ready to fight. You go to the death. That's not the way I wanted the Holy Spirit. But that's reality. Like I said, Thursday night, it's the awful grace of God. Oh my goodness, the horrible things we have to go through. Horrible, awful. And yet we look at it and say, it's the grace of God. It's easy to look at the Jews and the Holocaust and say, yeah, the tender hand of Jehovah. But what about when he applies that same tender hand to you? All of a sudden you're not so easy to take it, or is it? Oh, I don't want that tender hand of Jehovah on my life. Let it go to someone else. He's the same. He's not going to change. He's not going to treat you special. Well, I'm not going to let you go through these hard times because you're just too precious to me. No, because you are precious. That's why you go through the hard times. See, if the prophet rises and tells you that this is just that, and God don't vindicate that thing, forget it. Someone rises up and preaches something, God don't vindicate it, forget it. Let it alone. But God, in every statement, in everything, has to vindicate that it to make it right. Let me read that again. In every statement and everything has to vindicate it to make it right. God has to prove that it's right. He has to vindicate. Now, we know the prophet was vindicated. We believe the message. But yet God has to vindicate or interpret or prove that that message is right. And how does he do that? Through you. You who believe the message, become Christ on earth, are the light. You are the proof of this message. All the people say, oh, he is a false prophet. He was off here and he was off there. The people leaving the message because he's off there, he's off here, he was off, whatever. And you sit there and believe it, and your life proves whether or not the message was right or not. You don't have to argue. You don't have to fuss or whatever. You don't have to do that. You can't argue with Satan. You can't prove anything. Satan's won every argument he ever was in. God didn't argue. Jesus didn't argue with him. He just took him to the word and said, shut up. And when you take that approach, you're not building walls, brother and sister, because you realize you have no wall to build, because it was the grace of God that opened your eyes to see. The grace of God gave you ears to hear. There's nothing that you had to do that you can boast in. How can you look down on someone when you realize you came from the same place they did? The same pig pen. But someone reached down and pulled you out of there. They said, hey, you want to come out of that pig pen? You raise your hand. They grabbed you and pulled you out. Yeah, I don't want to get out of here. They asked the next person, you want to get out of there? They said, I like it here. Okay, stay. It was the grace of God, brother and sister. It wasn't because you're so spiritual or so smart. Then how do we look down on people? How do we degrade, belittle people? It's walls. He said, so his children, he said, God in every statement and everything he has to vindicate to make it right. So his children will watch those things and be alert. Be alert for what? For the vindication. We see what the prophet said. We watch for it to see it happen. Watch for it to see it take place. Watch for it to be manifest. Well, I believe it this way. Well, I believe it this way. I don't care how you believe it. How has it been manifest? And then if it's manifest different than you had thought, do you have the humility to say, well, I was wrong? Well, that's the hardest thing to say in the world. Three hardest words. I was wrong. People don't do it. So we take what the prophet said and we explain it this way, we explain it that way. We take the word and before it's been interpreted, we put it into our doctrines and we divide ourselves based on unvindicated word. Does that make sense? He said the word's been vindicated, prophet, preacher. Yes, that part is true, absolutely. But the part that hasn't been vindicated, we make our doctrines off of that. And when you do that, you're building up barriers. Is that confusing? Everyone see what I'm saying? Because I don't want you to be confused. Let me move on. Let's turn to Timothy. Timothy, the third chapter. Man, time is going fast. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 and 1. What is the effect of building these walls? Let's read this. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous, dangerous times. Are we living in that day? You better believe it. If you can't see perilous times around you, please open your eyes. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Has he just described 2015? American Christians. That's what we've got. Has this happened? Absolutely. Just look around you. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now let's stop a minute. He's having a form of godliness, that's just an outward showing, just a facade. But denying, that means refusing the power thereof. They look out holy, outwardly, they have a form of it. Why do they refuse the power? Because it would change them. They like all these things that we just read through. They like these things. They don't want to change. They feel that they get their own way. They're doing what they want to do. It's their nature. And the church has got to a place where it allows them to be a Christian and still have those characteristics. Because you're not going to call against it. Why? Because when they tear down their walls and the politically correct denominational systems, they are tearing down the walls. Absolutely. The Catholics and the Protestants are tearing down their walls and they're becoming one. Isn't that what Brother Branham was talking about? We want to be one. But they're not being one in Christ. They're being one in their denominational system. And when you're politically correct, the way you tear down a wall is say, oh, you want to believe it that way? Fine. You want to believe it that way? Fine. You want to be that kind of person? Fine. You want to be that kind of person? Fine. We're not going to preach against any of that. We're not going to preach against sin, because what is sin anyways, and who really knows what sin is? Who am I to judge you and say what's right and what's wrong? We're not going to do that. We're just going to come together and just all be one happy big conglomerate and be a nice, happy family. There's no right or wrong. You want to be gay? Who am I to judge that? You want to lust after your neighbor's wife? Who am I to judge you for that? You want to dress in the way you want? Who am I to judge you for that? You want to be all sexy in church? Dress the way you want. God loves everybody. See, that's their idea of tearing down the denominational walls. We accept every spirit. But Paul said, I have espoused you as a virgin to Christ with once you're married to one spirit. People like these things. They want to be truth breakers. They want to be false accusers. They want to be incontinent and fierce and despised of those that are good. They like it. It's their nature. And who am I to say that you shouldn't do that? Who am I to judge you in what you decide is right or wrong? After all, isn't God in everybody? You've heard this before, haven't you? Well, I believe I believe a person decides what's right and wrong for themselves. So that makes you God. You are the moral absolute. You are your own moral absolute. You decide what's right and wrong. Tell me that's not rebellion against God and His Word. We're not looking for that kind of tearing down walls, brother and sister. That's not it at all. That's why He said, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let me read what Brother Bram said. He said, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Denying the power of what? The power of God. Having a form of God, but denying the power of God. Going to church, belonging to a denomination, but denying the very existence of the Holy Ghost that's in the church. Making it act and do with the very same thing it did at the beginning. See how that denominational curse is? I hope you don't get angry with me, but I hope you get it in the light that I'm trying to say it. Having a form of godliness, deny the power thereof. What's he saying to the church? Turn away from it. Come out of it. So when you turn away, it means come out of it. Don't be a partaker of that. But when you come out, don't put up your own walls. Don't come out and say, okay, I'm having nothing to do with those people anymore because they're a bunch of whatever. Now you just become another denomination. come out of there and put your arm out and say, hey, why don't you all come with me?
Amen.
Come out of it too. And then live a life that they want to. I promise you, I hate saying this. Most message believers that I've seen are really nice people. And I don't want their religion. It's so pharisaical, if that's the word. They're Pharisees. That's what I've seen. Now, there's a lot of them who are genuine. But most of them, I believe, are not. That's just my opinion. You don't have to go on. That's just my opinion. Don't worry about it. You come out of that, but you don't build a wall when you come out. Any person walks through the door there should feel as comfortable coming in here and sitting down and enjoying it as long. I don't know if I should say comfortable. They should feel welcome. Now, when the word comes and if it kind of gets on them, then they, you know, that spirit that's on there, you know, praise the Lord. God's dealing with them. But if they come in and feel like we don't want nothing, you know, they get the cold shoulder from us as people, we have the wrong spirit in here. And sometimes we do that to each other. I know that's not, it's true. We do it to each other. We get an attitude towards someone. And so now I'm just kind of clan off to my shelf over here. I'm going to click off over to myself over here. And I'm going to fellowship with that person because they said something that hurt my feelings. And after all, I am a very important person. How dare you hurt my feelings? Don't you know who I am? You ought to respect me. You want respect? You know how you get respect? You earn respect. And if you don't do something to earn respect, then if someone don't respect you, don't get mad at them. Get mad at yourself. Why do they refuse the power? Why do they deny the power thereof? Because they don't want it. Because they don't want to change. Brother Branham said it'll bring them back to the beginning of making them act and do the same thing the original Pentecost did. People don't want the original Pentecost. They don't want to go back to that. They don't want to act the way they did. You have to die to yourself. They want to be the center of their own universe. So when God comes and interprets the word, that's the power of God. In the word, being interpreted, being manifest. That's the part they deny. I believe that the seven thunders this way, and God comes and reveals it somewhere else. Well, I don't believe it that way. They're denying the power of the word to produce a real Christian. Just believe it this way, you'll be fine. I believe you don't have to go and listen to Fivefold Ministry. Just listen to tapes. We'll all be fine. And if we listen to all the tapes all together, then we're all in one accord. No, you're not. You're one in accord when you're in one in the same spirit. The spirit of Christ. Listening to the same minister. We're all sitting here. We might not all be in the same accord at all. Just because you listen to the same preacher preach doesn't mean we're on the same accord. You get in one with another in one accord when you're all in the same spirit. And the only way to do that is get in Christ with everybody else. Listen to the same tape doesn't put us all in one accord. Who come up with that? You know who came up with that. Ridiculous. Get in Christ. He broke down all the barriers. What was he talking about when he read in Ephesians? It was the Jews and Gentiles, and the Jews and they were separate, and God treated them separate. But when Christ came out, he said, now I'm breaking down that separation. We're no more enemies. We're one in Christ. Sure, if he can do that with those two races, we can do that among our churches. We can do that among message believers. But you can't. Because people deny the power that will do that. When the word is vindicated, when it's brought to pass, people do not accept that because it's not the way I want it to be. I wish I had that quote. I had it ready to go this morning. And Brother Branham just hammered it. He said, it's not what the people want. They don't want it. Because then you have to change. You have to come the way of the Holy Spirit. And he gets to run your life. And you say, well, I can't run my own life. I got to do what he wants. Well, just remember this. There's two forces. One of them's running your life, either God or Satan. And so when you say, well, I'm going to run my own life, you're saying, well, I want Satan to run my life. And that's who's running it. No, I'm doing it. The spirit in your soul is what's running it. It's either God or Satan, brother and sister. Let me just keep reading. For this is a sort that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Why does it say that? Because he knew, the Holy Spirit knew that in this day, the women were going to be ruling the house. And if that woman takes that spirit, her husband's coming along. Like it or not, boy. They're in charge. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. Tell me that's not education. Ever learning. I love going to school. I wish I could go to college all the time. I really do. I enjoy it. I enjoy learning. I enjoy that atmosphere, just getting knowledge. You know what it does for me spiritually? Absolutely nothing. But it's just something in my own mind. I like learning. I like knowing things. I like getting smarter. I like understanding things. And when you take that and go to church the same way, which I have to believe that that's the average, the most message believers, they go to church with that. You come to learn more. And you couch it in different terms like that. We call it revelation. But you sit there and the preacher teaches you something. And he teaches you something maybe you didn't know or whatever. And then you say, oh, we're getting more revelation. And you're learning and ever learning and ever learning. But never coming to the knowledge of the truth, which means, brother and sister, that the word never takes its place in your heart and shows it to be the truth. It never manifests it through their life. It never comes to a point where you and Christ become one and you start living the word instead of just learning about it. And when he comes and he wants to tear down that wall so he can start manifesting himself, he wants to show the light through you, through that door to someone else, and you have a wall up there and you say, no, I don't want to get rid of that wall. I got my best pictures hanging on that wall. You're trying to destroy my house. This is my favorite wall. Yeah, I want to make a door there. No, this is where I. This is my faith. This is my, I'm proud of this wall. I believe it this way. Always studying, but never having it revealed. Always learning. Never come to the knowledge of the manifestation of that word. Pilate asked, what is truth? I think if the average message believer would have stood there, he would have said, what is truth? And they would have turned and started educating him about the message. He said, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing, brother and sister, except this. If it's just an education, it's just an education. If all we need is an education, then the Bible is all we ever need. Because when Brother Brian came the message, he never left the Bible. Everything he taught in the message is in the Bible, but he brought the understanding of it. And when that understanding came, now you say, well, that's it, that's the message, that's all we need. Brother and sister, that understanding has become a life in you. It has to become a life in you. Because Brother Branham said, he said, it's not knowing the Bible, it's knowing the author. I know all about the word, it's not knowing the word, it's knowing Christ. Let's keep reading. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, resisting it. When God comes and manifests it, they resist it. When God comes and tries to reveal himself and show more light, they resist it because they've already got their wall set up. They already have figured out what the prophet meant. They've already got their doctrines in place. Resisting it. That's why they hate you, brother and sister. That's why they don't like it. They don't like you in church. They don't like your pastor. They don't like the things going on here. They find all manner of evil things to say against it. That's resisting it. Because what it does is it shines the darkness. Your light shows the darkness in their religion. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now listen to what Paul says. He's talking to Timothy. He says, this is what's going to happen. Now he's going to tell him. Now, let me just read it and we'll talk about it. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came at me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So what he said, now, how are you going to know that, Timothy, with all this going on, people resisting the truth, people denying the power, how are you going to know what's truth? He said, you've known me. He said, look at my example. You've seen the effect of the Holy Spirit and a real Son of God. These are the attributes. These are the characteristics. This is the living word right here. What you've seen in me, this is what your standard is. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's how you know, brother and sister. That's how you know the truth. Look around and see Christ in someone else and say, do I have that in me? Or do I just have an education? When you come to church, what are you looking for? Brother Phil, teach me something I don't know yet. I don't know anything you don't know yet. Unless you don't know Christ. Well, teach me how to be a good person. Know Christ. Well, what can I do? How do I do this? What am I supposed to do? You have to know Christ. And then when he speaks to you, you hear his voice and you follow it. Don't let it get more complicated than that, brother and sister. Don't let it get more complicated. He is simple. If you can explain one mystery, if you cannot explain one seal, if you can explain one trumpet, or you can explain any that Godhead, you can't explain any of that. Who cares? Know Christ. That's what is needed. Someone said, oh, explain this about this serpent seed. I don't understand that. If you can't explain it, say, oh, I can't explain it. But I know it's true because I've seen the vindication. I've seen the proof. I've seen what has happened in this world. I can look around me and see the vindication. That's true, just the way people act. Look at this sexuality. Well, then how am I supposed to know? Go talk to my pastor. If you're not comfortable, if you don't feel confident explaining something, you're not obligated to. Now, I tell you what's going to happen. You just yield yourself to God in that situation, and all of a sudden words are probably going to come tumbling out of your mouth, things you didn't even know you knew. And it's going to come natural, automatic, and you're going to be sitting there afterwards saying, man, I didn't know I knew that. I didn't know how to put that together. But here it comes. That's how I preach, brother and sister. I don't know what I'm going to say. It comes up here and it just comes out. But I'm afraid so many times, like when I first started going to church here, and I was working, you know, God had really done a work on my life and saved me. And I went to work and I was so full of everything that God was doing. And I just wanted to talk to people about it. And I wanted to tell everyone how they were wrong. And I had all kinds of proof. Oh, I had quotes and I had scriptures and I started a conversation. I was going to prove this Catholic he's wrong. I remember one time I started this conversation. This guy was Catholic and we got talking. And about 3 minutes, he shut me up. And I just stood there with my mouth gaping open. I had no idea what to say next. Why? Because I had approached him with all this education. And he was more educated than I was. Learned a lesson there. You better watch who you want to tangle with. You better go with the right attitude. Just to prove someone is wrong isn't going to get them to Christ. Let me finish. We're all part of the body of Christ. Do you believe that? Brother Branham says this. He said, you're each one set in God's economy just for its place. Now that in itself is enough to make us happy. Each one is set in God's economy in your own place. No one can take your place. One fasts all the time and communes with God, while another casts out devils because this one's fasting. Isn't that amazing? Someone is sitting at home, they're just praying, they're fasting, no one ever knows about it. Someone else is in church, maybe the pastor, and someone gets up to be prayed for and casts Satan out of that person. And the reason they could do it, because someone is sitting at home praying. How many times has Brother Branham said that the success of his ministry has to do with the people praying for him? But we don't see that person. So no one wants to be that person because they don't get very much glory. But if that's what you're called to do, no one can take your place. He says it's the whole body of Christ working together, the unity. When we see these denominational barriers breaking us up, that's what hurts my heart. That's the thing that separates us. We are one. There's no big people among us, no great people among us. We are all the same. We're children of God. There's only one great among us, and that's Christ. We must recognize him. And if we seek honor one from another, we can't have faith because we're having faith in one another. We have to have faith in Christ. He is the one among us that we must have faith in. Excuse me. And then faith in what he's doing and has give to us. Faith in what he's doing and has give to us. We must have faith. Brother and sister, we all have to find our place in the body of Christ. We have to know. How do you know if you're in the right place? It has to be revealed. You have to know that you know where where you're supposed to be. You have to know what's going on. It's got to be revealed, brother and sister. People jump from church to church because of the different ways pastors preach. And Brother Branham said some of our churches are known not by the power of God, but the doctrines. Boy, if that ain't message churches. This preaches this doctrine, this preaches that. Well, I prefer that doctrine, so I'm going to go over here and sit here. Listen to this preacher. What is the power of God? Well, this pastor, he has a lot of power, and he heals people. That's not what we're talking about. Well, this church is very, very charismatic. They do a lot of shouting and jumping and running around. The anointing's on. The power of God. That's not the power of God I'm talking about. The power of God is the word manifest. And that what Paul said, when John sent to Jesus and said, are you the one who's supposed to come? He turned to those people. He didn't say, well, take this book back and explain, John, how should it act in prison? This is the latest quote I've had. He said, go tell John what you see happening. When someone says to you, why do you go to that church? Why do you tell them? Do you have the same response that Paul had for Timothy or that Jesus had for John? What do you see happening? I go to that church because I see the word being manifest. I see Christ living in human beings. I see the word for today happening among people. They look at you cross-eyed like, what are you talking about? But brother and sister, that's got to be the reason. That's got to be what we're doing. This is our vindication. This is why. This is why. It's a long time ago, this guy was talking to me. He was a Baptist or something, and talking about going to this church. And I said, when God saved me, this is a church he put me in. This is why I go to church. And he basically said, well, he could have put you in any church. It wouldn't have mattered. You'd still have been saved. That's that good, politically correct response. It doesn't matter what church you go to. Well, to me it does, because it's been revealed to me. Let me read one more quote. He was to them in their camp a fanatic. He was to them in their camp a fanatic, a breaker of their tradition, upsetter of their churches, really just a fortune teller, a spirit that's called Beelzebub. Brother, sister, when Christ goes into these churches with the walls, you're a fanatic. It's always going to be a fanatic. He's going to be persecuted. Paul said every spirit of Christ always persecuted. He said that's what he was. And I believe as he's come among us today, he'd be the same thing to us. For we have traditions. We have denominations. We can't even get along with one another. My. He said, among them he was a fanatic. Jesus came along in their camp of the Pharisees, the camp of the scribes, the Sadducees, all these, and he was a fanatic. He said, we have the same thing. He said, we can't even get along with one another. What's he saying? If we can't get along with another, how are we going to get along with a fanatic among us? We can't get along and be nice to each other in this church. How are we going to get along when someone comes in and starts stirring things up? Oh, my. He said, there's only one place that man can get along. That's under the shed blood. I want you to hear this. And the blood was shed as a germ of life to germatize the seed, the word. Outside of that, our denominational barriers will always keep people away. The blood was shed as a germ of life to germatize the seed, the word. It's got to be germatized. The word has to be, it has to be brought to life. That's what that means. You germatize the seed, it brings it to life, produces what's inside that seed. That's why we need Christ. It germinates that seed. It brings Christ to us, among us. The word that we argue and fuss about is not being germinized. The word that's brought under the into the blood, that just shed blood, is a germ in there, and that word is what's brought to life. Make sense? That's what we need. Tear down the walls, brother and sister. Start with our attitudes. We can't even be nice to each other. How are we going to be nice to the Holy Spirit when he comes and trashes our pride, our religion? Amen. Let's stand. One quote I read this morning, Brother Branham said this. He said, we need to gather together. He said, we need to be clannish. Isn't that amazing? Some places he said, we shouldn't be clannish. This time he said, we need to be clannish, as in gathering believers together. But he said, we need to be clannish, but with an arm reached out to everybody else to come and join us. So he didn't say, you know, we need to gather together as believers. The Bible said believers should gather together much more as you see the day approaching. But now don't gather together and lock, put a lock on the door. Don't gather together and say, everyone else stay out unless you see it my way. Amen. Don't come to the church unless you happen to dress the right way. Will you agree with everything that's going on in here?
Good.
Just come in here with the right attitude. Watch what God will do for you. Amen. Come in here, you can come to church when you're holy enough to be amongst us holy people. Well, you still have a problem with cigarettes? Don't come around. You still have a problem with this or that? Don't come around here. We're holy people. We don't want to be contaminated by you. Well, Jesus hung around with that kind of people because the holy people wouldn't hang around with them. He was a fanatic. Isn't that amazing? And yet you look around and you see people who won't fellowship. I go to preach in Indiana sometime and I have family there. They will never come and hear me preach. That's fine. I don't care. I mean, it's not that it's me, but they will not even come there at all because we believe differently. You never go to a place where you don't believe what they believe exactly. They sit at home first. You ever go to a denominational church? I do a lot, actually. I have friends, sometimes they invite me to church from work and stuff, and if we're not having church here, Sunday afternoon or sometimes Saturday evening or something, I'll go to church with them. Well, Brother Phil, what are you doing? That's the whore system. Yep, it is. And you know how much it influences me? None. I'm not partaking of their doctrine. I'm not partaking of their seed, of their spirit. But I'm not afraid to go either. If I'm going to be a light, I can be a light wherever God leads me to be a light. And the darker it is, the more my light's going to shine.
Amen.
Right? I think we need to quit being afraid. Quit being afraid. Oh, this might, oh, we shouldn't do that. We got to do that. We got to, what if someone sees me? I hope they do. Because you know what it's going to do? It might shake someone's religious, their message-believing religion a little bit and say, well, what's he doing there? I don't think a believer should be there. Well, why not? You know how many denominational churches Brother Branham preached in? Almost all of them were denominational churches. Amen. That's the only place he had to preach. Amen. Let me stop. God bless you. I hope this wasn't confusing in any way. I hope it's as simple as God gave it to me. And sometimes I stumble around and kind of came up here not knowing exactly which way to go, but I believe God took control and everything is good. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're just thankful that you would speak to us again today. And Lord, we just, I ask that, Father, you take the word and let it have the effect it's supposed to have. Lord, if I said anything that was confusing or whatever, just erase it from the memories of everyone so that no one's going to be confused, no one's going to get the wrong idea. But Lord, let it be revealed, Lord. And I understand, Father, we understand that it's got to be revealed anyway. So no matter how I preach it, you can take it and reveal it in the right context and let it bring forth life in each person's heart, in their lives, Lord. Just show yourself among us, Lord. Show Christ living among us, walking among us, Lord. Change our attitudes. Help us, Lord, to always seek you, to seek your faith above all else, to seek revelation more than anything, Lord Jesus. We believe this, Father, the word you gave us, Lord. We accept it and we want to walk in it now, Father. We ask this, Lord, that you would just bless us and keep us, Lord. Watch over us as we go from here and in the coming week. In your name I ask this, amen. Amen. Brother Nate, would you come up? I'm going to be gone. I have to leave Thursday. Won't be back till Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, so I won't be here Thursday or Sunday. So please pray for me, and I'll be praying for you, and we'll see you next week sometime or the week after.
Jesus, draw me closer.
Jesus, draw me closer.
Church, he found a $20 sitting in front of the doors, so he was saying for anybody to come, whoever it was. Let's be dismissed this time. We'll have a